This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Chuang and Shaoning. Now, we have been running a poll on the BFM Twitter account this morning, that's at BFM Radio, asking you how upset are you over rumours over a potential new coalition. 635 votes so far, with just over an hour left to weigh in. 55% have said very upset, 26% upset but not surprised, 7% upset but still have hope, while 11% have said that they are not particularly fussed. And the reason why we are running this poll is because we're all reeling, I think, from an overnight news of a plot to form a new coalition government involving Bersatu, UMNO, PAS, Gabungan Parti Sarawak, as well as Parti Warisan Sabah, as well as a PKR faction aligned with Dato' Sri Azmin Ali. As of now, there's no official announcement or confirmation by any political parties on any of these news reports on possible changes in the country's political scene. But it has raised quite a lot of speculation.
Yeah, I think it's just been just so much noise going on. And especially curious, since all this has happened less than 48 hours after the Pakatan Harapan Presidential Council actually agreed on the date of the, not a confirmed date, but a so-called date for the power transition, which will be determined by the Prime Minister Tun Mahathir after APEC in November.
So the question, of course, now remains, is there a future for Pakatan Harapan as a coalition, or are the days of PH numbered? For more analysis on what this means for the Malaysian political landscape, we turn to Karim Raslan, founder of KRA Group. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Karim, and good morning. So how do we make sense of what's been happening over this very eventful weekend?
Hi, everyone. I'm afraid, first off, I'm in Jakarta, actually. I flew down yesterday and I nearly saw a government change from the time it took me to go door to door, which was fairly surprising. First off, I think I have to say, you know, should it come to the point that Tun Dr. Mahathir wants to reconstitute his government, he can. You know, there's no legal barrier as far as I can see to that. What we've got to kind of establish is whether it's the right thing to do, is it morally right? And here I think the major problems arise, because I don't think it is morally right. But legally, yes. And in the law, you know, once the path is clear, of course you can do things.
And so from what it sounds like, you seem pretty convinced that a new government will be formed sometime, maybe.
In the event.
So yeah. What are the chances of that?
Well, I'm not sure. To be frank, you know, this government started off with enormous euphoria, with an enormous amount of goodwill, and they have squandered it. For those of us who lived through 98, we are extremely tired of Anwar Ibrahim and Dr. Mahathir. And I think that is absolutely critical. I am so tired of these two men. I am tired of their rivalry. I am tired of their infighting. I really feel, given that the median age of this country is 28, why are we stuck with these two old men, one of whom is over 70, the other is well over 90?
So, Karim, sitting as you do in Jakarta, how do you advise your clients? How will you advise your clients in terms of how they view Malaysia and how they invest in Malaysia?
Okay, to be frank, this is going to sound counterintuitive. I am inundated with people who want to invest in Malaysia. Malaysia is extremely attractive. The more political uncertainty, the more prices drop, the more value people see. I have never actually seen Malaysia so attractive in the eyes of foreign investors. That has to be said, okay? So that's quite separate, because for ordinary Malaysians, it's actually about dealing with the shock of this change of government.
Karim, then why is the KLCIA where it is, and why is the ringgit where it is? Desire is very different from actuality.
Well, the reality is, the further the ringgit levels are driven by sentiment. KLSE levels are driven by sentiment. The value investors look at this country and they go, wow, this is really reasonable. You've got excellent logistics, superb infrastructure, really decent human resource, wow, let's get in there. However, you see, Indonesia now, you've got a new government reconstituted. There's a consensus. You've brought in Prabowo. So things are much more on the rise, yeah? So the political risk has really been turned down.
But Karim, at the same time, if we look at the foreign shareholding, the data is that we are almost at the all-time low, close to what we've seen in 1997. So it doesn't seem like foreign investors really like Malaysia.
That's portfolio investors. I'm talking about value investors. People who want to come and buy factories, build and invest for the long term. For them, this is approaching a historic opportunity. You don't have to believe me. This is what I'm hearing from people that I deal with. And I feel Malaysia is at a historic turning point for investment.
Assuming that what the speculation says is correct and the new coalition is no longer the multinational coalition that it was purportedly in the past, what will this mean for investment going forward in terms of the country's development?
Well, you know, I think, to be frank, and the thing that I really want to say is, yes, the Prime Minister, Dr. Mahathir, can do this, but it is not correct. It's not morally right. I would strongly advise, and, you know, with all due respect, that the Agong should consider that this mandate has now basically been broken and that the country should go for an election. We need to know, you know, if we are going to be stuck with these two men, they've got to fight it out properly. We need to know who is going to run this country. Is it going to be Anwar Ibrahim? Is it going to be Dr. Mahathir? So be it. Let them fight it out. We have to live with the consequences.
So, Karim, one party that's been absent from the headlines here is DAP. Do you think they had any inclination of the indication of the events that were unfolding this weekend?
Everybody knew that this was a possibility. Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, is a very small town in essence. Everybody knew that this was a possibility.
Then say this doesn't go through. What are the chances of Pakatan Harapan staying as a viable coalition, particularly after all of the bombshell news over the past weekend? Or is it the case
it all comes down to these two men. I'm sick and tired of them. You know, I'm 57. They have dominated Malaysian politics for the past 30 years. Let's move on.
But what are... Karim, what are our options then?
What are our options? Good question. That is the frustrating point. Young guys in Pakatan, young guys in Barisan, you've got to move. You know, we are becoming it's like infantilism, you know. Why are we still so beholden to these gentlemen? Time to move on, everybody. Median age is 28. Where are our 30-something leaders? You've got to crack you've got to crack it now. Whatever it is, Agong needs to be scrupulously fair, and I think he's trying his best, clearly by saying he will receive Anwar Ibrahim and the Deputy Prime Minister Wan Azizah today. Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir must also really think through what he is about to do. Can he be sure that he can work with this potential coalition going forward? My thoughts are that working with PAS would be very difficult. Who is going to be the deputy prime minister? Who would occupy the finance ministry? These are all real questions that need to be addressed. Better you slug it out with the people. Let the people decide. Let's have another election. You guys have brought us to this. We gave you a mandate back on the May 9th, 2018. You screwed it up. Now, go back to the people, let us decide, and then you constitute your governments accordingly, whether it is under Dr. Mahathir or under Anwar Ibrahim.
So, say power, though, is not handed over to Datuk Seri Anwar Ibrahim. Who, in your estimate, could make a worthy successor to Tun Mahathir? Perhaps Shafiq Abdal of Warisan, for example?
it is not for me to decide. I'm just a crummy kind of commentator sitting in Jakarta. The key thing is the people of Malaysia must decide. The mandate which they were given on May 9th, they have now discarded, it would appear.
Well, in which case, go back
to the people, let them decide.
Well, Karim, that's an interesting question because, as we know, Malaysia is not South Korea. Malaysia is not the more homogenous society that the South Korea is. The urban KLites, as the poll suggests, are largely infuriated. But what do you say to the segment of Malaysia that could support the new coalition?
Okay. You know, one thing you've got to bear in mind is Anwar Ibrahim is perceived to be not a strong Malay leader. He does not have great numbers in the Malay community in terms of his support level. He has to address that. And to a large extent, the weaknesses which Pakatan has experienced is due to the sense that the Malay agenda, and this is a majority Malay country, had not been addressed. This has to be thought through. And that's why I say we've got to go back to the country. The people of Malaysia have got to decide, do we continue with an interesting Pakatan with, you know, a mixture of races, a fair balance? Can they actually govern? Or do we go for what is clearly an overwhelmingly Malay government constituted with parties such as PAS, which have a fairly weak, let's be frank, record of administration. Look how well they have governed in Kelantan, for example.
Thank you very much for speaking to us this morning, Karim. And that was Karim Razlan, founder of the KRA Group, helping us to make sense of the multitude of changes that we've seen in the political landscape over this past weekend.
I love the fact that he's so contrarian and so outspoken. But what is interesting, and I'm not necessarily sure I agree with him, is the investability of Malaysia at this point in time. But he makes an interesting distinction between portfolio investors and long-term value investors.
I think the thing is to track the FDI, right? That would be really value investors, whether they're investing in Malaysia in our factories. But if we look at the auto sector, based on what's happening, no, that has shifted very much to Thailand and Indonesia, for example. But for markets, definitely, we are kind of in love. But my point is like, okay, now we know this is happening. What are the options available for Malaysians? And according to Karim, the best way forward is to call for snap elections. But even then, who are our leaders? Are there going to be new leaders emerging from all this is my big question.
Or the two septuagenarian, in fact, one septuagenarian and one nanogenarian.
Yes, I tend to agree because at the end of the day, this is a government whose mandate has to be awarded by the people. It's not a government that can be formed through backdoor political machinations. At the end of the day, it is the people who should decide. But this is something that we will be following very closely as we continue to move throughout the day. Lots of political developments are slated for this afternoon as well. But right now, we're about to head into the 8 o'clock news, and then after that, Kusu Truong speaks with Lee Ming Lee, CEO of Razor FinTech, on The Breakfast Grill. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.